Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Odette Lockwood Stewart, pastor of Epworth United Methodist Church, spoke on June 8, 2008. Her sermon was titled, Pitching Tents. God invites us to go to the vantage point of those who suffer. The lectionary reading is Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 26.
Abram wasn't sure where he was going, but he got up and went. He wasn't sure what his future held, let alone generations to come, but he knew his future required him to move. Abram heard God's call and trusted God's promise of blessing. And he left his home in Haran and head out for an unknown land. God said to Abram, go from your country, go from your family, go from your home to the land that I will show you. The Hebrew word for go in this passage is in its emphatic form and means get going. Now, Abram was 75 years old at the time, hardly what we think of as a prime time for relocation, let alone relocation to destinations unknown. But there is no time in our lives exempt from change and movement, whether by divine call, unexpected circumstance, or simply a window of opportunity or relationship. God called and promised. Abram trusted, and blessing and responsibility for generations was born. Now, Abram did not travel light. He brought his wife and kin and all his possessions and his whole household of people. And along the way, he pitched his tent, presumably many times, and we're told in the text, journeyed on in stages. I like that closing phrase of the text in Genesis because it comforts and challenges me. When I get impatient or want it all at once, now, right now, or when I feel secure and want to stay put, right here and forever. The journey, our journey of faith, takes place in stages. God is still calling and blessing the people today. And as we move, mobile, able to change direction, without a map, we dwell in tents. Our structures of community are temporary shelters, a part of the journey, but not our destination. A wandering Aramean was my father. The people of God began as wanderers, not in their own land, not rooted in country or community, known by a name which was borrowed from others and whose meaning is probably not altogether clear to us. Abraham and Sarah, spiritual ancestors of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, were emigrants to an unknown land. Abram stopped with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he pitched his tent, and there he built an altar to the Lord. For Abram and the people, the altar is a reminder of who and whose they were. It was a needed stopping point and center point for their identity as a people in the midst of a long journey. It too was not their destination. We are tent-pitching folks who need to find places of shelter and refuge along the way, on a journey whose outcome remains unknown, Always there are necessary interruptions in the journey that actually might become the stages of our journey. A need for rest, for restoration of relationship, for remembrance and worship. And the journey continues. In our gospel reading from Matthew this morning, Jesus traveled and taught and healed among the people. And in this text, as Jesus was teaching, he was suddenly interrupted, not once, but twice. A nameless child, the daughter of a leader in the synagogue, had died. Her grieving father risked interrupting Jesus as he was teaching and knelt before him and asked him to restore his daughter to life. Jesus left what he was doing and followed the man to his child. But on the way, a nameless woman also risked approaching and interrupting Jesus on a mission. She had been suffering, bleeding for 12 years. And the desperate, faithful woman thought, if I could just touch the fringe of this rabbi's garment, I would be healed. And she did. And Jesus turned to her and called her daughter and said that her faith had made her well. Then Jesus went in to see the child who had died, took her by the hand, and she got up. These miracle stories, a grieving father and a suffering woman, each began with risk. The risk of reaching out, trusting a promise and blessing that was available to them. According to Leviticus, both the unnamed girl and the unnamed woman were unclean, and anyone who touched them would be unclean. Jesus risked and reached across boundaries of custom as well as religious law to restore lives and restore the people of God. Those among us who have experienced great grief or sustained suffering in mind, body, or spirit over time know the experience of being isolated, untouched, invisible. Biblical scholar James Sanders said that in understanding scripture like these stories, it makes all the difference in the world where you are seated in the text, where we dwell in the text. And his words, I believe, invite us to go where the pain is in our lives, in the lives of others, in the life of the world, to sit in the seat and read the law from the vantage point of those who suffer, to begin with promise and blessing from that vantage point. Oscar Wilde wrote his powerful lamentation and meditation, De Profundis, near the end of his life while he was in prison. He writes, "Suffering is one very long moment. Where there is sorrow, there is holy ground. In the sorrow of grief, a father risked his position in the community to come to Jesus, and Jesus took his daughter by the hand into new life. In the desperation of pain, an unclean woman defied religious law to touch the law fulfilled in relationship, and Jesus called her daughter. Now, we don't know from the text that the woman's bleeding stopped. What we know is that she was made well, and that Jesus tells her her faith made her well, made her whole. We don't know what happened to these two persons after the miracle. We know they were not saved from death forever, but we know that in loving encounters, they were changed and restored and offered new life. These stories also remind us how quickly and unpredictably and suddenly moments for healing and transformation come, Every day, unplanned, unscheduled interruptions are opportunities to open our lives and to enter into others' lives with love's redeeming touch. For Abram, blessing was the beginning, not a fearful journey into the unknown. God said, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abram set out, not being sure what might happen, but in that journey, a people was born. As we risk asking for help when we need it, as we risk asking for help for ourselves and for others, as we pray for this hurting, waiting world, as we risk moving out into the world, moving into the depths of our souls, we are invited to remember the blessings and the promise we receive so that we will be blessing for all the families of the world. As a final reflection and response on this text from Genesis, I invite us to join together in today's observance of a worldwide day of prayer for peace in Jerusalem, the land that Abram promised was promised by God and that became the land of the people Israel, had people living in it, the Canaanites. Today, violence has roots millennia old and requires risking prayer and wisdom and healing and movement from all peoples. Let us pray. Heavenly Creator, in your mystery and love for all, let the power of your peace transcend barriers of culture and religion and history and fill the hearts of all who serve you, of peoples in Jerusalem, Israeli and Palestinian, and all religions. Send political leaders ready to dedicate their lives to a just peace for their peoples, security to Israelis, freedom to Palestinians, freeing us all from fear. Give us leaders who understand history and the holiness of your city. In the land you made holy, free us all for peace. We trust in you and pray to you, seeking your blessing, especially on the children and the young people, that their fear and anxiety of conflict may be replaced with your shalom. Amen.